You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everyone, my looms, my luminaries, honeys, I don't know what your week and your days have been like, but my days, my weeks, my months are all blending together into each other, and it's just like some of the most bizarre things that are happening since Uranus moved into Gemini. Now, for those of you who are not astrologers, Uranus rules everything about the future, things that are unpredictable, things that come out of the blue, things that are technical, technology, AI. All of those things are the Aquarian age that you've been hearing about for all of these years. It is in full swing. And when it's in Gemini, if you know any Geminians, they are quick to change. You know, they go from one side to the other very quickly. You know, they are very adept and skilled at communication, listening, talking, not necessarily listening, but gathering information and data. Whereas Sagittarius, the opposite, spreads it out. Like, I know it, I'm going to give it to you. Geminis take it all in. They love having lots and lots of information. So just think of that kind of energy paired with unpredictability. It is just so much going on. I don't know what to do. So like I said, a shout out to everyone out there who will take love over chaos, harmony over disharmony any day. So let's get into today's conversation. Today, I had something else planned, but I'm going to go in this direction, which my intuition told me to, and I didn't listen to it. Let me talk about Black horror. Now, I love horror. It took me a while to understand horror, but I love horror. I get the whole good versus evil. At the end of each horror story, it's usually something about the good conquers the evil, or the light is over the dark, which in reality is true. Although dark makes a big spill, so to speak, it's very dramatic. It loves attention. It loves anyone, any person, place, or thing that's exuding this kind of energy. That's what it normally likes. But light is sustaining. It's called light for a reason. It's sustaining. It gathers and penetrates without harm. So it's not an aggressive force in a way to take over, to control, or run, or anything like that. Light is simply there for the taking, and for anyone in the presence or in that field of energy can use that. So Black horror is slow, I'll say gradually, coming into view. Since Sinners made a big spiel, people are listening more now and looking more at Black in general. I guess Black is the new in color, because every time I turn on the TV, radio, whatever, all I hear is, you know, culture, 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 culture. So anyway, but I was watching a Black horror film called Abby. Now, Abby was one of the not the very first Black horror film, but one of the first Black horror films. Abby was done, I think, in the 70s. Now, this is what happens. Abby is a good church-going girl. She, you know, she dots her P's and Q's, minds her mama. You know, one of those good girls, not done married a nice doctor. You know, the doctor's father. I love the storyline, number one, because they weren't the ghetto part of us. And we always show, like, not all of us aren't from a ghetto. All Black people do not come from a ghetto. All Black people do not curse. All of us are just as varied and different individuals. And I'm ashamed as an American and be intelligent to have to say that to the public, because we don't seem to understand that people are not their colors. They are who they are on the inside. And everybody doesn't identify. There are people that grew up in the Black community. They don't identify with being Black. It depends on what their interest is. And their individual interests are or were at the time, although we are influenced by our parents and our families to a certain degree. And then we become the individual if we are one of those people that will individually, you know, not be afraid to stand up and be an individual and be different than the crowd. But anyway, Abby was about this good sister. And her father-in-law, who is William Marshall, we'll talk more about him in a minute. William Marshall goes into Africa and he goes to do a study on the Oruba tribe. And Oshun, I think, was the god that they were doing something. Well, while they're over there, you know what happened? They went into something that they were not supposed to go into. And so, unfortunately, homeboy got loose, Oshun. And he's kind of like, at least the way the movie portrayed it, on the evil side. He loves to have sex and fun and just wreak havoc and not be responsible and not be accountable and all that kind of thing. So the father brings these scientists, so he's still over there studying. But meanwhile, he brings one of the relics back. They send it to the son to hold on to until he gets back from his expedition. So the son gets it, and all of a sudden, you know, Abby, of course, women, you know, oh my gosh, it's so pretty. And oh, what is it? You know, she starts wearing this relic. Well, as she slowly begins to wear this relic, she starts turning into this like sex demon or something. Her face physically changes. Her energy physically changes. She is no longer Abby. And so she goes out and starts sleeping all these people. And it gets really weird because, of course, people are going to notice if it's such an extreme from the original personality. So anyway, they grab her, get a hold of her, and the whole story is based around them converting her back from being this sinful, evil thing into her normal, you know, Christian, church-like going self. Now, what I find interesting is how she was able to be influenced in the first place. Because usually people that have trained minds and resilient minds are able to be tempted by good, good, evil, and good, good, not evil, good, good, good. Temptations can occur when things are too good. You know, things are very accessible. You have a full reign of greed, much like the story of Diddy. I'm rich, I'm famous, I can have any and everything I want. If I want 5 girls, 10 girls, if I want this coke, that drug, if I want this. Those are the dangers of evil that are good. You know, that these are, you know, these are things that are offered to people when they become famous. You have a run of whatever you want, but not everyone is skilled at having emotional or spiritual intelligence. So for those of you out there, because I know that, again, all of us probably listen to each other here and there. I don't want you to think that because you curse and that's the way you project your expression, that you're doomed to hell or something wrong or evil. All I'm saying is there are higher vibrations. I mean, I am a sailor. I'm a Navy girl. If I can tell you, I can have a sailor's mouth. And that is the truth. I don't have to lie. I could care less what you think about it. But at the same time, because I've grown and I matured and got more, you know, development internally, emotionally, and spiritually, I know better. And it feels weird. Now, when I do a curse word, I feel like a man. It feels very harsh and it doesn't have the softness that I want to project. So I try not to do it anymore. I mean, even when I'm talking in general, you know, yeah, we'll say a couple of F's or, you know, S's or something, because F's pretty much go with just about everything, you know. And then you'll hear a comedy skit like by somebody like Bernie Mac, you know, and he makes those words sound funny, humorous, and it's his delivery. And I'm assuming his intention is to make us laugh about the use of them and why they're used and how they are used that makes it funny. But Bernie Mac is a comedian. So as a comedian, that word is not going to vibrate as strongly as if someone, I'm sorry, I have an allergy, you guys, as if someone that is doing spiritual work something that requires evolving, something that requires emotional, I want to say temperance, it's different. It hits differently and it sounds and feels differently. And I don't want to use the word hits because it's a familiar word. It feels different. It smells different. Your aura changes colors. The vibrational field that we hold when we do that, it changes and it has a resonance to it. That's the way I want to explain it because I know, because I've done the work and know what I'm talking about. I've been trained by the best in these fields. You want to look them up? Dr. Robert Kimball, Dr. Eric Hunter, Reverend Alicia Arachna. She's Polish, a Polish scientist. Dr. Eric Hunter came out of Yale University. He didn't like, a lot of them are not against conventional society, but felt that the things are important about being a human being and developing as a human, not so much how much money you make and the cars and all of the material things that can't go with us as we get older, mature, and then eventually expire. Those people have trained me. I've just been really fortunate that I walked into spiritual life around the age of 17, 18 years old. I had so much going on and so much come against me, and I didn't understand that my lineage, whatever heritage I have spiritually, naturally led me into a spiritual path. To me, earth things are very boring. It's so shallow. And I see all the superficial relationships people have, the giggling, oh, hi, and the people might hate you behind the smile. I mean, I can feel it and sense it. So it sometimes become difficult for me to go outside in the outside world and mix and mingle other than for business, because I'm so sensitive to things like that. All the phoniness, all the filters, all the, you know, it's just ugly. It smells ugly and it looks ugly, but we do it because it's a part of how we've been programmed. So in the movie Abby, that's what happens to Abby. She has like this bizarre, extreme transformation that happens. Then after Abby, I think Blackula. Now, William Marshall, he's a very striking, I think he was oratorical, one of those theatrical voices that was very, very heavy. And he could come out and say, Abby, you know, like he sounds like that, like very, you can tell, very astute, you know, very sharp sounding, that very operatic voice. And they came out with a movie I can't remember all of it, 1972, they had Blackula. Then they had a movie called Scream, Blackula Scream. It was Pam Grier. What is the other guy's name? I can't think of his name now, but you would know who it is. If you watched the movie, you'll know all of the actors. They were prominent Black actors back at that time. Then they had Blackenstein that came out in 1973. And then I happened to catch Sugar Hill in 1974. So Sugar Hill kind of reminded me a little bit of Sinners. And I can tell when people do research and they do their homework. You know the part of Sinners where they come into the bar or whatever kind of room, it looks really rural, like it's out in the country. And you know, probably some Southern people out there, because Southern people do these things all the time. They you know, they mix up things and potions and formulas, and they will ask you questions. I can clearly remember my mother asking me every time we wanted to go somewhere, and especially the girls, because the boys weren't monitored as much, but certainly the young girls, because you get pregnant, have babies, and get raped, and all other kind of things could happen to you being a young Black girl growing up in the South. And so, you know, my mother and my aunt, I can still hear them saying to a young man that might have come up to the door, baby, who is your people? Like, where do you come from? What's your lineage? What is your background? In order to date in those days, which I didn't do, I wasn't allowed to date. I didn't start dating until I got like 19, 20. I'm like way behind. anyway, and they had a way of reading. Southern people before psychics, tarot readers, read people just on the one, you know, and especially when it comes to negative things that might harm somebody, like they project in horror films, like Sinners, had that feeling of something might be wrong. Because I remember my mother and my grandmother, and whenever something might be off, it's a feeling, an intuition that something might be off. And usually it starts a little bit like this. Now I've been trained voice wise, and so I lost some of my Southern accent, but time to time she comes back. She's still there, but she doesn't have to be used as much, you know. But anyway, I remember this guy was dating. I can't remember. It was the prom, because I wasn't allowed to date. But when the prom came, my mother did allow me to go to the prom. And so I remember my grandmother said, "Baby, come on in here. Let me just talk to you for just for a little minute. I'm not going to take much of y'all time, because I know y'all young people young and y'all like to do with things, and y'all, you know, we old, we can't get around." But who is that name of that young man you bought over here to take you to the prom the other night? And you'll say somewhere, "His name is Harry, Johnny, Charlie," whatever his name is. Now I'm not trying to start no mess, and I certainly don't mean to be up in y'all's business, because I know how it is. Like I said, I know y'all busy, your kids, and when your kids, things happen. But if something ain't right about that young man, I'm telling you now, I can't put my finger on it, but if something ain't right. And sure enough, months, maybe years, the same soothsaying, storytelling, griot forming, intuitive, picking up stuff, empathic, it will come true. And if you watched that other movie, Eve's Bayou, the same kind of thing. It's always kind of a mysterious occult feeling around something, because Black folks is intuitive. You know, we know something gonna happen before it happens. You know, the look like that cloud of that show is hanging low today, I believe, and my right foot is itching. I believe it's gonna rain today. Sure enough, 3 hours, sometimes a few minutes later, start raining. Pour now. Never could remember or figure out how they would do it. So we would make the early horror movies were based a lot around Southerners, especially New Orleans, where you had people like Madame Marie Laveau, you know, these people that were well-known psychics and intuitives. They tell your fortune. Most of them weren't psychics or anything. They were people that did hair, you know, nails. So you get to talk to people when you're doing hair and nails. "Well, baby, what happened?" You know, people would tell you their life story. "Well, you know, the man did me wrong. Miss Marie or Miss Laveau, you know, I need you to put a spell on him, and I need you to rack up some potions and some mojo, and I need you to do some hoodoo, some voodoo, or whatever your family can think of to do, because I don't like what he's done to me." So Sugar Hill, made with a very wonderful cast, and in 1974, had beautiful, you know, beautiful people in it. Gorgeous, not only gorgeous physically, but good actors. Sugar Hill, look it up. It's running on Tubi, I think, right now. But anyway, it starts off young Black couple in love. Oh, they're mad, passionate at each other. Can't stay away from each other. Just breathe. They had to get ice to wave them off. They were so into each other, the way love should, you know, the way love used to be. And then they had a brewing business relationship. So of course he had been threatened by the mob or whatever you want to call it back in the day, that if he didn't turn his business over to them, they were crooks. They, because he didn't want to sell. So they were like, okay, well, if you don't want to sell, we're going to take it. So they ended up killing him. And because they killed her man and they were going to get married, and, you know, they were the best thing that ever happened to each other, she went and found homegirl at the voodoo house in New Orleans Pass. It's usually somewhere out in the marsh. Crocodiles. You know, weeping willow trees. That's how I grew up. I grew up not in a marsh, but I grew up similar to that area where, you know, marsh, weeping willow trees, you know. I was Eve in Eve's Bayou without knowing it. Let's just put it like that. Anyway, she goes and finds homegirl in the marsh, and then they don't talk to her. So if you come into her, it's got to be serious, and she don't play. So usually in horror and in the real world of the occult and magic and all of that, they ask you, what are you willing to give? What are you going to do for the devil to use the devil's powers to do what the devil, you need the devil to do, to either get rid of somebody that don't even know, probably at that turn, you trying to get rid of them or do whatever. And she said, my soul, I'm going to give my soul. Like, what? She said, I'm going to give my soul. There is a deck. It's probably based. It's based on the law. It's a voodoo deck of cards, but it's based on and written around the life of Marie Laveau. But there's a card called Papa Legba. Now, anybody knows about voodoo, all this stuff. Papa Legba was a very, very famous occult character out of the Haitian culture, the whole New Orleans thing. If you call Papa Legba, you better know what you're doing. And I would advise people that really haven't studied the occult, and I mean every aspect of the occult, that you know, you've been trained, so now you are responsible for what you do. You're responsible for what you do. How you think, what comes out of your mouth, and your and our intention. So anyway, in the movie Sugar Hill, she goes and sees her, a little bitty woman. If you saw her, you know who it was, because she's a very famous actor for those kind of roles. I can't think of her name, but in the movie, she was Mama somebody. But she went and called Papa Legba from the grave. And my girl, she wanted all of the people involved gone. Get rid of them. Do what you got to do to, you know, take revenge on them for killing the only man I've ever loved. Now, in Buddhism, we would never do that. And this is why we understand cause and effect. If something is coming to you, the good thing, the best thing to do is that it's coming to you. And if it's something that you know you haven't done, like, what have I done to deserve this? Or why would they be doing something to me? Or why these people, person, whatever, coming after me? Then it is probably, it's karmic, number one. It's karmic that someone would be trying to do that to someone. So that means at some point, and I'm just going to explain to you how I understand, because it's true. I probably either did something to those people or someone in my ancestral lineage did. So they may not have been evil, or they might not have been on the good side. But the whole thing is there's some interaction of energy that takes place. I can't do something by myself. Somebody else can't do something by themselves. So people interact with each other. These are the bonds, the karmic bonds that are created lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So when we do things, like when she called on the negative spirit, she's connected to them forever. Unless she does a great deal of spiritual work, which may take years, even lifetimes, to clean up that negative karma so that those things aren't even happening anymore. Well, it's taken me most of my life. I started out, grew up in the South, grew up around people that I was talking to you about, grew up around those kind of people where I was told I was possessed by the devil. I could see. And in the South, they call us two heads. Two heads means it's somebody that can see in the heavens and then down on the earth. And then my name is Osiris. If you look under my name, Osiris means Osiris was an Egyptian god married to the goddess Isis. It's an androgynous name. It holds the power of the balanced archetypal patterns of both the male and female principles. And when I took that name, a lot of things happened to me. I mean, it would take years, but it's been about 45, 50 years later. And now I am starting to see results of all the work I did, you know, because some of us may have to work for years. It depends on what our mission is on the planet, what we're here to do, who we're here to help, who we are here, who's here that we are supposed to learn from, do our own mission and develop our own stuff. So we understand that. So we would never advise anyone to seek revenge. It's the worst thing you could do. Spiritual teachers will tell you, send them love. It doesn't mean that you aren't hurt, that you don't get angry. You don't go into none of the 10. I go into the 10 worlds, hell, anger, hunger, animality, all the 10 worlds that make up the human function of a day-to-day human being activity. You are in hell. I'm mad at my mama. I'm mad at my boyfriend. I'm mad at my girlfriend, whatever. I'm mad. That's hell. I'm angry. That's another condition. Usually people that are hellish condition are people that you will see out robbing, killing, murdering. You know, they're sick in the head and the minds. They're taking things out on others that don't have anything to do with other people. That's what we call hell in Buddhism. Not going down, you are in hell right now. If that's how you're feeling, you want to take your own life and you want to take other people's lives. That's hell. Anger is a condition that can be brought out if someone does, like it has an outside stimuli. All of them are brought about by what happens in the environment and what we choose. And sometimes without, if you're a child or something, you're forced into certain environments because that's where you were born, but you do have the free will to change and move out of it. You're not going to be a child forever. But anyway, in Sugar Hill, she called upon all the dark forces. So what we do is we chant through whatever issue we're having. It's not prayer. When we say prayer, it's for lack of getting into an argument of people. I don't feel like explaining to you guys Buddhism. It's a very deep philosophy and daily life practice. We have to do a physical practice. We don't just walk around saying, oh yeah, this, that, and you know, praise this and that, and don't do any work. We have to do the work. So the work usually means digging inside and finding out your own faults and issues first. And that takes a lifetime. No one really has time to worry about what other people are doing, because if you're really focused in developing your own life, it's a day-to-day job and a lifetime venture to be able to do it. So in Sugar Hill, I noticed that thing about, oh yeah, seek revenge. And what everyone that I know that have sought revenge, they keep repeating the same patterns over and over too. Rather than saying, look, I don't understand maybe what Miss Osiris, she said about cause and effect and all of that. But, you know, I do understand that this has been following me for a long time, most of my life. And I never understood perhaps why. And causes come from within and they circulate without. Everything starts with the life of the, I mean, just think, use your own, try to do a little bit more than the five senses. And think about what I'm saying. And when you hear these things, life starts with the individual. We don't meet people until we interact. Gemini, no, Aries. I'm a baby. Me. Taurus. There's a wall. There's something around me. It's a bed. I don't know what it is. I just know it's something. I sense it. It's there. It's concrete. I can touch it. Gemini. Mama, Baba, Mama. That's how primitive those signs are at their base. I'm telling you the truth. Look it up. You don't have to listen to me. And I'm not telling you aspects of astrology. I'm telling you what I've known, what I've lived and observed, and had plenty of a whole long life to put it to the test. So usually no one starts to interact with themselves until they get around being like maybe a teenager or a, you know, like in what are you, in fourth, fifth grade, and then you notice, oh, wow, there are other people. Oh, wow, I'm in the public, and that's Leo. Oh, wow, this is fun. I get to be around other people, and they're doing things, and there's activity going on, and where there's, you know, things are happening, they're spontaneous. It's, I'm interacting, I'm talking, I'm doing, you know, I'm living in a world. And then at some point, we have a Saturn return that says, okay, now that you have gone through all of those courses, and you know, you have a foundation, you had a, whatever you had that made that foundation, no matter if you need something, where you can compensate for it by attracting things that you need to grow, to compensate what it is of that that you did not have during the time of your childhood. If a person didn't have a lot of earth in their chart, or they didn't have a parent that was very grounded, they usually attract heavy earth people to teach them how to be grounded, to teach them how to be firm, to teach them how to be concrete, to teach them how to be practical, how to make concrete decisions, things like that. Everybody didn't have the fortune to have those kind of parents. So again, in horror movies, it is usually based around what's wrong and what's right. What's good and what's bad, what's evil and not evil. So let's go to Blackula. So at the end of the movie, she kills all these people. You know, the police find out about it. They don't do anything because the people are a bunch of thugs and they really don't care anyway. So let's go to Blackula. We had Blackula, and then we had Scream, Blackula, Scream. In the first Blackula, it's him and his African queen, Uzi. And he has this real commanding voice. I'm going to use my deeper voice.
He has this real commanding voice. And in Africa, usually,
when they do anything in Africa, it's very deep, deep tone.
And then even more guttural, which I may or may not be able to go that deep in my voice. But he goes, Luva. That's my Luva.
Now, again, he's a theatrical actor, so he's going to know, you know, what to do in certain tones. But the whole point is that we can carry these spiritual things, these feelings, emotions in our voice, in our behavior. And back in the day, Black people as a culture capitalized on all those feelings and moods and emotions, which happened around slavery, happened around being locked up, happened around, you know, can you imagine being locked up on a, or bound to a ship, and all of your emotions are agony and stuff? Think of what kind of resonance and vibration that's sending out, and how far and how long it might last. And just because, let me tell you, things are in the past, oh, we don't have to be responsible. Yes, we do. Because our past made our present. And what we're doing now is going to form and shape our future. So yes, we do need to think about what we've done in the past and how we are supposed to never, ever do those things again. But what do? We're still doing them. So again, I'm trying to show you an example of how cause and effect happens and how they happen. So if we're still doing something and doing things that we did years and years ago, we're still making the same causes, which will produce the same effects, unless we change in the present moment our intentions that work in our minds to develop thoughts and words, and then the words actions and deeds is what we put out into the environment. I know some of you think that you're gonna make a shortcut, or I'm gonna copy her and say, no, you have to know it in order to talk about it. You can talk about it, but it won't feel the same because you have to have lived the experience. And I know a lot of people like me, when I was younger, I wanted to grow up really quick. But life, somebody used to say, walk, don't run. When you run, you miss everything. When you walk, you see it all. And you'll get to be old and experienced soon enough. It'll happen. Just keep living. But meanwhile, you might want to open your ears, you know, every once in a while and learn a thing or two from people that might know a thing or two. And I never would think that I would have lived long enough based on some of the excruciating things that I've been through in my life, including disappointment, torture, rape, being lied, cheated, but stolen from, all kinds of stuff. And still I rise. Because when you are a spiritual being, it doesn't matter. It cannot. It won't change you. You'll have to do the work. Oh, and it hurts like hell. I'm telling you, I've had to pick my heart up off the floor many a day, and it looked like it was just, I had to carry it in there and go doctor. I'm like, oh, bless her. She's just been broken so many times, you know. And now I've learned to be discerning. And I am very, very, I wear a very tall boundary around me now. And I can sense from a mile away, 10,000 miles afar, because I do practice, which makes my senses even more acute and more developed, because I'm using sound and resonance to develop versus something, in my opinion, is pretty antiquated. But, you know, talking future, which will be some more sound and color and vibration and those things, this seems to be the direction it's going. You know, more future things, a lot more people will be able to call upon their intuition and maybe not react to things happening to us unless somebody physically beating you, but words and stuff like that. Build a shield around yourself because it's never going to go away. We're always probably going to encounter some horrific part of our karma, you know. And again, you know, in the South is really known for, you know, into those kind of things. And a lot of it comes from slavery, where we had to find another door or we wouldn't have made it. We had to find another door. We had to find another aspect of our own mentality as a culture, I'm speaking. And I'm from the South. I clearly remember my great grandfather. And I remember him standing over me. And I might have told you guys this morning, he said, that one's special. Take care of her. Oh, she got two heads. She can see. And I never knew why I was treated in a certain way when I was young, you know, and made to feel ugly and evil and all of that. And thanks to my lineage of spirituality and being developed enough in this lifetime to have recognized that that wasn't my family. Yeah, they may be my earth family, my spiritual family, they found me early. The people from Aurora Astrological Institute did me like this. Robert Kimball, they did me like this. Come here. No, you're not evil. Woo, you're powerful. As a matter of fact, what name do you have? That's not your name. No. What you have to do, my dear, most men only do, and even men can't accomplish it. And it may take you a very, very long time to find true love. And it may take you a very, very long time to find your career. But boy, the foundation you're going to build is something that can never be toppled by anyone, not even yourself. You're protected from yourself even. And I'm like, what are they talking about? You know, I'm 17, 18, young, you know, Black, vigorous, learning a whole nother way of living and thinking and being that nobody in the community taught me because they didn't know. And if they did know, it was very, very suppressed and not at all identifiable, you know, maybe buffered over by some words and language that we didn't understand. But I got to live out all of those prophecies, and I am happy to be here and to be able to share it with you. But we got to go. My time has ended. Like I said, I want to talk a little bit about Black horror because it's becoming more and more prominent horror. Horror is very important to get the thing out. Get it out. Get it out. Don't do it to each other. Do it to the screen. Do it to the ghost. Do it to the witches, the warlocks, people that are negative. You know, work on yourself so that when they come around you, you'll be like a, ah! You know, if the shield will be so bright, you can only see yourself and you might scare yourself. Because you'll be just looking at a big bright mirror like, oh, you know, and then try to attack yourself. Because when people do things like that, they're attacking themselves. It's really scary. And then they wonder why their color and their energy and life begins to go. It's bad. But anyway, shout out to my dear brother and friend, Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio. Thank you. Without you, I would not be here and I would not be doing this show live every week. If you want to hit me up, you can find me on Osiris_Munir_ the painter. I don't know what just happened to the film, but we are out. And I'll talk to you later.
You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.